Hey, Mystic Michaela, spiritual family. Welcome to Know Your Aura with Mystic Michaela. Today, we are talking about connecting with others when hard times hit. How do we do that? We're going to talk about how your aura is affected during hard times. And we're going to have a special guest come on, KYA listener, mom, wife, and a co-founder of Hope Totes, Amy Velez, is going to come on to share her story about when something really difficult happened in her life, and she went through a dark time with her family, and how she came out of it to create a light working endeavor. I'm going to let her tell her story, and she's my cousin. But first, hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. And she's come all the way from Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo, you know? Hometown.
Yes. And she is in our green room right now. We haven't had a guest in a while. So the green room needed a little sprucing up, and she's doing that right now. She's got Buffalo Bills colors up, so it's red and blue in there, same as my aura. I see there's chicken wings. There is blue cheese. Salins hot dogs, very specific foods in Buffalo.
Yes.
It can't be just hot dogs.
It's
it has to be Salins hot dogs. She's got some Chevetta's chicken. Can't be regular fried chicken or anything. It's got to be Chevetta's chicken if you live in Buffalo. She has some beer, but it's Labatt.
Yeah.
It has to be Labatt in Buffalo. It cannot be just
anything else.
Anything else, right? It has to be Labatt. Yeah. I think there's one other acceptable beer up there.
I don't know. We argue about
Molson.
This.
I think it's Molson.
I was always Labatt. Labatt Blue. Blue Light
Blue
was
Light,
what I always got back in the day.
Okay.
You just go up to the bar. Blue Light.
Yeah. And then there's no ranch in there.
No, that's
blue
gross.
Cheese only.
Yeah.
And it's Marie's, right?
Is it Marie's?
Marie's blue cheese. So
and beef on whack.
Yeah, there's a beef on whack in there from Schwabbles. So yeah, It's a Buffalo thing.
Charlie the Butcher.
Oh, is it Charlie the Butcher?
Yeah.
Schwabbles is big, too.
I think Schwabbles
those
is big,
both.
Too. Yeah.
Both, you can go to Schwabbles or Charlie the Butcher. There's sometimes you can do, like, two things there, but usually it's just, like, one thing.
Usually
that's
just
it.
One acceptable thing.
Yeah. And that was my problem, you know, because I grew up on Long Island.
Right.
And I know nobody really cares about this. They just want to hear Amy's story, but she's getting ready, so we have time.
She's busy.
She's busy right now. She really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I grew up on Long Island, and then I went to college, and I went to Harvard, but I also went to the University of Buffalo.
Right.
And you know, it was after college I kind of stayed there, and
obviously.
I got in with the locals.
You got in with the locals, like me, I guess.
Right. And you know, when I worked at Domino's Pizza with a master's degree, I worked at Domino's. Say that a couple times. I worked at Domino's Pizza with a master's degree. And, you know, people didn't understand me up there.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get it.
That's true. You didn't go over well up there.
I did not. Yeah. Because they're very set in their ways on certain things.
Yeah.
And I'm not that. Like, I'm certain set on my ways and my things, but not their things.
Excuse me.
No, I am set in my ways on things, just not their things.
Okay.
So, like, when I got the Chevetta's chicken, and I'd be like, this is dry.
You know what you are, Scott? You're just a contrary person. Like, I stick you anywhere, you're just going to pick whatever the contrary is. You're a contrarian. Is that a real word?
Contrarian. Yes.
Yeah. You are just contrary to everything. You don't really have an opinion. You're just a contrary person.
No, I don't
like, we'd stick you anywhere if it was like, this is what we're all doing. You'd be like, actually, I don't think so. And it could be like the best idea or the best food. And you'd be like, against it.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. But anyway, you know, it took me a while for people to embrace me up there. Let's just say that. A very long time. There was a long, like, learning curve of how I operated. And it was, like, just different from everybody else. I think even Amy, for a while, you know, your cousins, they just didn't know what to make of me.
Well, the first time – do you remember the first time you met them all? Oh, my God. Do you remember?
It was at a bar, was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was, like – it was on St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
And we had just started dating. Do you remember this?
Vaguely, but yes.
We had just started dating. I was working at JCPenney's.
Okay.
This was before cell phones. You were so nervous because I'm like, why don't you just come meet everybody at this bar? It's St. Patrick's Day. We're going to a bar in South Buffalo.
Yeah.
And everybody was going to be there. And you were so freaked out.
Really?
Like, you were really scared. You kept calling me on the landline at Penny's, like, behind the register. I kept getting calls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't have to come, dude.
Like, I didn't want to go.
You were just like, should I come? Is, you know, like, I don't know if you thought like this meant you were forced to marry me now or something, because we'd only been dating for like 3 months, and I'm like, just, and I was just like, dude, whatever, just come to the bar. Like, well, it's St. Patrick's Day, we're going to an Irish bar in South Buffalo with my family.
Well, that could be it too, because in that's another Buffalo thing, and we've talked about this. I was, my time in Buffalo was mostly in the north towns.
Okay, that's true.
The south towns is like, that's like almost like going to Australia for Buffalonians. You might as well get on a plane, right, and go to LA.
Is South Buffalo like south? I don't,
yeah,
even,
yeah, South Buffalo.
South,
yeah,
Buffalo.
Like
that,
yeah,
South, like, Buffalo. The Irish section.
Yeah, it's not like the south towns. Yeah. It's before that, but you might as well. I mean, you might as well just
so
go
you,
to LA.
You came in, came and in. You had the most fun of anyone.
Yeah.
You met Amy. You met everybody.
Yes.
And you had the most, you had so much fun.
I love, I mean, St. Patrick's Day is probably my favorite holiday.
Yes.
Other than Kentucky Derby Day, that is my favorite day.
Everyone's Irish on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And no, you had the most fun, and you loved it. And you, yeah, loved, just because everyone's just so, my, you know, my family's very calm, that side,
yeah,
of the family.
I remember it being a,
yeah, and everybody was just drinking, and you're like, okay, these people seem cool.
Yeah,
like,
I will, I will say one thing I do truly miss about Buffalo is St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
They do it. They know how to do it,
they
up
sure
there.
They sure do.
South Florida, you don't know how to do it. I'm sorry. But Buffalo, they do. They know
do.
How to do it.
It was,
yeah,
very just chill.
Yeah.
And Amy's only 6 months older than me. So,
right,
like, we've kind of grew up the same age, you know.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's the first time you met her.
All right. Well, anyway.
And now she's in your green,
yeah,
room.
Yeah, who would have thought that? All right. The other thing I want to get to before, you know, she's still prepping, whatever.
Yeah, she's busy.
Yeah, she's got the wings cooking. just put up a Josh Allen poster.
Wow.
Like, yeah, that's coming down. Okay.
I think I'm going to leave it.
No, fine. Well, you know, I didn't know this, but a listener DM'd me. Sometimes, oh, that happens.
Yes.
Yeah. Once in a while,
yeah,
I get a DM.
It really goes to your head.
Yeah, and it does. And
I'm like, just, wow. So you're aware when you DM them.
Right. Yeah. Be careful.
It's a real ego boost.
It was probably from like 17 weeks ago. Because I forget to check. And then I got like hidden messages. Like, Instagram's playing, they toy with me or something. Like, there's hidden messages,
yes,
and stuff
personal.
Now. But anyway, and they told me it was, this is our 200th episode.
Yes.
And my response was like, yeah, that's such a 3D thing. You know, we're 222 episode.
Yeah, we'll do our real celebration,
yeah,
on 222.
Which will not be a real celebration, but yeah.
We had a big one for 111.
Did we have a big one?
Yeah.
But,
oh,
I wanted, you know, I had this book in the house.
Oh, yeah.
It's called The Angel Numbers Book by Mystic Michaela. And I have like...
Who's that weirdo?
Yeah. I don't know, but I have so many copies of it. Like, you know, Simon & Schuster sent us like 50 copies that I bought,
right,
on my own.
You just keep buying them at five,
yeah,
and below.
I mean, I must have bought at least 100 copies by now. Probably why the book's doing so well. But anyway, I wanted to look up Angel number 200.
Yes.
Not, you know, just for the fun of it.
Well, because you're a contrarian.
Right.
You want more emphasis on the... On the 200, on the 100 numbers instead of the repeated.
Yeah, because, yeah, I feel like the 100 numbers don't get any play.
They don't.
Like 111 gets play,
yeah.
222, 333.
You're like, what about 200?
What about 300?
Yeah.
What about 400? Not 900. I've never even heard anyone,
exactly,
even mention.
Exactly. Bring, okay, it. We're going to bring it to the,
so,
forefront.
Here it is. Reading from this incredible book. I recommend buying it on Amazon, simonschuster.com. But all right. 200. Good luck. You make your own fortune in life. I love that. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should I read it?
Yes,
okay,
read it.
I will,
okay,
try my best to read it and not botch it.
Okay.
You have been working hard in life. Sometimes it's necessary to expect good things to come out of it, not just more hard work. Your angels, that's like Phoebe, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Your angels want to send you that lucky break, big opportunity, and moment of respite, but you have to believe it's coming. Write down something you would like to manifest and place it in part of your home where you see it often.
Okay.
Okay, so I
like that.
I think everyone should do that right now at home.
Yes.
Get out your piece of paper.
It's like your homework right now.
And put it somewhere where you can see it.
Yeah.
If you have a red husband or boyfriend, maybe hide it. But other than that, yeah, put it out.
Well, yeah, do you understand? It's like, you know, not everything's just more grinding. Sometimes we can just enjoy where we're at.
I feel with Phoebe and me, it is always a grind.
Yeah.
So
if you're new here,
yeah,
that's got Spirit Guide, and they have a, you know, like an endless war.
Yeah. So I feel that this one doesn't apply to me.
Like your life is just grinding.
Yeah.
Poor Scott.
Just grinding it out.
Yeah. Your life's so hard. We
one
feel
by
terrible
one, one
for
by
you.
One. All right, here we go. All right, so we're gonna do a quick ad from Osea. Then when we come back, Amy's still getting ready. She's still got some more prep to do. You're going to talk about how your aura responds to difficult times.
What a wonderful summer it's been, filled with pool and beach and sun-soaked days. Well, guess what? It is time to rejuvenate my skin from the effects of all the summer fun I've been having. And I'm going to do it with Osea's Undaria Exfoliate and Glow Duo. This dynamic duo features two of Osea's best-selling products infused with nourishing seaweed and designed to elevate your summer body care. Let me tell you about the Undaria Cleansing Body Polish. It is an easy one-step exfoliator, cleanser, and moisturizing shower essential. It has this unique gel-to-milk texture. You just feel it going on your skin and rubbing off all the dead layers and hydrating what's left. And then Undaria Algae Body Oil just seals in that hydration after the shower. It moisturizes and it makes me glow all day. I get out of the shower and I just, you know, I leave my skin a little damp and then I put it all over and I just feel my skin soaking it up. And you can prep your skin for fall with this clean vegan skincare from Osea. And right now we have a special discount just for our listeners. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code KYA at OseaMalibu.com. Head to Osea, O-S-E-A, Malibu.com and use code KYA for 10% off. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. All right, Amy is still preparing. Apparently, she now has this, like, table, like a card table, and there's some ketchup and mustard on that table. And I think what she's preparing is a tailgate. This is how, I don't know if anyone knows this, but Buffalo Bill fans, they have a tradition with tailgating.
Yeah.
They jump on card tables.
Yes.
And then they spray people with ketchup and mustard.
Bill's Mafia.
Bill's Mafia. So she's doing that now. But, yeah. All right. So I figured this would be a good time to ask some questions about the topic coming up today. So I took this from the Mystic Michaela Spiritual Family, one of our listeners, Jessica P., and this is what she wrote in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We placed my dad in palliative care on Friday. He was given a few short weeks. I can feel myself shifting into inauthentic yellow. I'm quick confirmed purple and blue. All I've been focused on is logistics and how to organize everything and one. And then she asks these questions. My question is, do I just allow myself to be inauthentic yellow and give myself some grace? Or should I try to snap myself out of it?
Oh, that's like a great question. You know, and this is what I see, and in episode 142, I talk about a lot of this too, in case you want to hear more about this. But all right, your aura, your energy around you reacts to tragedy and it will work to protect you. Just like anything in your physical body will work to protect you when you're going through something traumatic, your energy will work to protect you too. And there's nothing wrong with that. So what I see is with your empath aura, when you're going through something just unthinkable, your empath aura, that's your purple, blue, indigo, or turquoise aura, it immediately wants to absorb into the situation. It immediately wants to sacrifice itself in a way to try to be part of the solution. Like, let me just give every ounce I have to whatever the situation is, you know, sometimes to the detriment of your own health, like physical health and mental health. And many empath auras, that's why I see a lot of empath auras. If you're leaning too hard on your empath aura during this time, your health fades. You forget to eat, forget to sleep. You know, you just feel sick. It's easier to get ill, things like that. You know, your emotion just becomes overwhelmed. Therefore, your aura knows how to protect itself. And that is why if you, let's say you're two empath colors, you're going to get an inauthentic color. Or if you're an empath color and a logical color, you're going to lean extra on the logic color. So for example, like with Jessica, her being purple blue, that's double empath. So yeah, she's going to get an inauthentic yellow aura. That's how she's going to save herself during this time. And that's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay. We have to we're in survival mode. You know, there's a lot of things we call it with inauthentic aura colors, or even if you're leaning on, let's say you're yellow and blue and all of a sudden something's happening, you're like full on yellow, you know, you have to compartmentalize. Sometimes you feel numb. You do this to get through it. You got to, you know, you put your head down and just push forward, push through it. a lot of times, if you think about times in your life where this has happened, people are like, I don't know how I did it. I just did it. I did it because I had to. It's survival mode. So your energy surrounds you, cocoons you, works to protect you so you can get the stuff done that you have to get. It's not always like, maybe it's just the world we live in, the 3D world. I personally feel sometimes we are in survival mode. You know, sometimes we can't always be thinking about, oh my gosh, you know, what should I be present 100% or this 100%. Sometimes life is just thrown at you so flipping hard, you have to just get through it and you're allowed to. And especially with Jessica talking about her dad in that situation, I mean, that's really, really sad. And it's probably absolutely horrific for her to be in the present moment. She wouldn't be as helpful as she wants to be. And it just protects her from feeling overwhelmed and probably protects her health and allows her to move through it. So, okay. But what happens is time goes on and there will be a time when you lean off of that color you've been leaning on too much, or you have to take down the inauthentic aura and go back to who you are. And that's when hopefully you feel like you're in a safer space and you have support and you feel like it can be about you now and you don't have to do all those things you have to do. That's why I always feel some people live in survival mode. You know, yeah. Some people live in survival mode. Like you see people and, you know, we're very fortunate, you and I, that we don't always live in survival mode, but a lot of humans live in survival mode. And it's, you know, and I think like if you know parents or grandparents or people in your life who are living in survival, they've lived in survival mode and it's hard for them to take down those walls or those shields. Right. And I think if you've dealt with somebody like that, or you've had that experience yourself, you can have a lot more empathy for it because usually it comes from a place of protection and a place of, I want to be the best for the situation. So I just have to push through. And maybe they're not always as connected to the emotions of things as because they, it wasn't something that they were allowed to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So, all right. So in Jessica's case, she's purple blue. She has those two empathic colors. Mm-hmm. And there's no logic colors, what we're saying. Okay, and she's borrowing the yellow. So what if you are, let's say you are yellow. Now let's go. Yeah. You're yellow and blue, or you're yellow and purple. And then this happens. Then what would happen, would you say?
Then like, you'd lean hard on the yellow.
So would the yellow just go into overdrive?
Yeah.
Or could it be like the yellow collapses?
Well, what I normally see is like, just using yellow as an example, like yellows who are already yellow. And they're the ones that, it piles on them. So they're going into yellow or overdrive. And I think it's harder to I'm talking to yellows now. I feel like if you're yellow and you're going through something, 100% you are all the way yellow. Yellow meaning organized, on top of it, in charge of everything. The one who's making the phone calls, the one that's organizing all the paperwork, the one that's in all the logistics, the one doing all the things that everybody else can't do or doesn't know how to do or isn't in the space to do. And everybody, if you're yellow and you've been living your life like this anyways, everybody just expects you to do it. Like, oh, you'll do it, right? And you are used to being like, yep, got it. So what I see with yellow auras is it's harder to lean, to step away from that. Actually, I think it's harder. I would say it might be easier to drop an inauthentic aura than it is to lean out of a color that you already are and let the other one push forward again. So if you're yellow blue, for example, and you're going through something, it's hard to kind of, I'm going to take a step back from the yellow and let the blue come forward. I feel like that's harder.
Okay.
Versus if you have, you know, everything's relative, but like versus if you're purple blue and one day you're just like, yep, I'm done with the yellow. You know, like I think that's a little easier actually to drop a color that's not yours. Easier with quotes around it. Everything's hard. But yeah.
Okay. And what if you're like, you know, sometimes we do get yellows that are yellow, but they don't fit the mold like where everything's organized.
Yeah.
And then they kind of get, so what about them? Would this thing just totally fall apart and then, or no?
Sometimes I'll see yellows.
I mean, I'm assuming that could happen.
Yeah. Yellows are funny because you kind of have one thing that you're usually, there's a quintessential yellow that's like, you know, the Martha Stewart yellow, right. you know what I mean? But then there's yellow auras and usually there's like, it's just one area of your life. Like you're really good at the social calendar or you are really good at juggling a lot of things at once. Like some yellows like push the limit of their yellowness to the fact where they like pile so much on their plate and they can juggle it all around. Those ones are the ones that run the risk of it collapsing. And you know when you're a yellow and you're doing too much when all of a sudden you start, you're late for things. Or, oh my God, I totally forgot about that. And it's like silly things you forgot. Like I signed up for that weeks ago and I knew it was going to happen and it totally slipped my mind. Like that's when you know it's like, oh, I'm juggling too much. Or I'm pushing out my yellow to the boundaries, meaning like what everybody else can see and not spending enough of my yellow working on my structure and foundation, you know, first. Because if you're yellow, I feel like you should definitely work on your structure and your foundation closest to you and then build out. But some yellows like jump way past that and just go into the build out stage and they don't work on the foundation part, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So like they can build a fortress, they can build their yellow wall around themselves, but they don't work on like what's inside. You really got to work on what's inside first and build out. But that's such yellow tips randomly. But yeah.
And what about, I don't know, greens and the reds?
Greens, I would say like if you're already green and things are happening, you go, it's the same, it's like go mode. You know, you're kind of a support system. You're really big on actions. I noticed like green people in hard times, they are really good at showing up. They might not always be good at the words, you know, they're great at coming to like if it's a health thing, like coming to doctor's appointments with you. And they're great at taking emotion and putting it to the side. And, you know, your green aura friend, hey, can you come with me and ask the doctors the questions I know I'm going to forget? Or can you come with me and notice what I'm not doing here? Or they come in and they just are like, you know what? I took your car for an oil change, or I just did this, or they're handy or they're helpful in a different kind of actionable way. But they might not say the things. They might be more the actions person and show their love in those types of ways. Mm-hmm. And then red auras,
the reds.
They're good in like, red auras get a little passionate. So it's kind of like they mean well, but they can kind of sometimes make more problems.
It could make, yeah, I could see that. Because or just can't handle it.
They can't handle it, or they're just like,
get mad.
They get angry. Yeah. And then so they might, you know, just back to the health situation, they might yell at a doctor and it's like, okay, that was unnecessary. I realize you're trying to protect, but that's unnecessary. They might get like too aggressive or they might, because they get so fired up, they don't know where to put that. So they're just right. Like, I'll yell at people, you know, or whatever.
They might even yell at their spirit guide for like, why are you letting this happen?
Like, or something like that. Yeah, they're the ones that get mad at God or something like that. You know, because when they feel out of control, they don't always do great. So if you're red and you're going through something, like know that about yourself and also be like, okay, where can I put this, you know, instead? I think it's all like with reds, it's like, where else can I put it? And when you're going through something and you're red, you might need to lean more on your emotional side and perhaps ask people to assist you with your temper. I don't even know. Like reds are, I think as I've known so many reds and have gone through things like in my own life with red aura people, I could be clouded by my own experiences in a way. Okay. But I noticed that red auras just lose it a little bit. And that's a hard color to lean on.
Yeah,
I would say put them to work. Be like, hey, I need a ride. You know, can you be in charge of rides? Can you get the meal train together? Hey, we need donations because this person, you know, can you be in charge of the GoFundMe? Like I would do something like that, like put them in a helper for the underdog type role when tragedy strikes or something bad's going on.
Yeah,
like,
that makes
can you be in charge of the fundraiser? Like that kind of thing.
Or let them come up with something to be in charge of.
Yeah. Be like, can you come up with something to be in charge of?
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
Right.
All right. So I think we have a couple of ads. Amy's just about ready to when we come back.
I have been having really great hair days with Way. Way has taught me to actually pay attention to what my hair is telling me. So I listen to it. Sometimes I need more shine and I'll use their hair oil, or my scalp I know needs that nourishing, so I'll use their scalp serum, and I'll use their dry shampoo when I just don't feel like, you know, restyling my hair all over again. And I use their heat protectant, the leave-in conditioner, all the time. And then every once in a while, it's just that buildup of product and I need their detox shampoo, which is seriously the best feeling ever in the shower when you start using it. And you just know it is taking your hair back to its natural, healthy state. You can get whatever fix you need for your hair, and you can get your fast fix for healthy looking hair at Way. Go to theway, theouai.com, and use code AURA for 15% off any purchase. That's theway, theouai.com, code AURA. Hey, Mystic Michaela, spiritual family. Welcome to Know Your Aura with Mystic Michaela. I am talking today with wife, mom, MMSF member, and my cousin, Amy. Hey, Amy.
Hey, how are
you? I'm good. I'm so glad that you came on. You know, I already told you this, but just to tell everybody else, you know, I do so many readings, and when people go through something that's just the unthinkable, I feel like a common feeling is to feel like you're on an island all alone, very isolated, and you've been there, and you're so humble, and you're just so well-spoken about what you've gone through. I thought Amy could come on and just extend that lifeline, that little lifeboat out to anybody that's on an island all by themselves. But do you know your aura?
I think I do. I have a cousin that may have told me.
Yeah, right. Wait, I have a question. Like, as a kid, what was your favorite color? Wasn't it red?
It was red.
Yes. I remember that. I remember because, like, our grandma would always get us, like, our own, like, I don't know. I feel like she thought we all had our own colors, but she'd always get you red stuff. And I always thought that was, that was fun. You know, so when I look at you, I've told you this, I see like a blue to go, like blue indigo aura and purple, but you do wear, like that protector armor, you know, and when you were going through what you're going to talk about, I remember looking at pictures of you and be like, oh, she's wearing a lot of that red, you know, just to get through. But why don't you start? Tell us about how many kids do you have? What's your story?
So I am a wife and mama of four. My kids today are aged 23, 16, almost 17, 11 and 7, almost 8.
Wow.
And I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. Joey would be so upset. He's 12. Sorry. He just turned 12. So yeah, we're a busy household.
Yes.
And yeah.
And how many, and it's so weird that we did this because I had this feeling, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to have Amy on the podcast. It was so random. And then this week happened to be kind of an anniversary week for you guys. So let's start. How many years ago was it that this all happened?
So this past Wednesday, it was the 5th anniversary of the day that we discovered the brain tumor inside my eldest son Thomas's head. Back in 2018, just 3 weeks into his senior year, Thomas was diagnosed with a brain tumor. All life sort of like blew up. We had this vortex that just this, like, it was like a bomb blast went off. He was admitted to the hospital after the tumor was found on CT. And we found out that the mass was sitting squarely on top of his pituitary and hypothalamus.
Wow.
Basically, those are the control centers of the brain. And so those tumors not only were controlling, like blew up his whole endocrine system, his fine motor control, but it also wrapped around both of his optic nerves.
Oh my God.
And after a barrage of tests, you know, a 2-week hospital stay, two brain surgeries at that time. Thomas was diagnosed with germinoma, which is a unicorn kind of tumor inside the brain. About 2 weeks later, he underwent considerable vision loss and, like I said, extensive endocrine complications. And so we went through an aggressive treatment plan. We had 4 rounds of chemo and 6 weeks of radiation and tests and labs and more MRIs than you can even count, and a cancer review board and all of the bells and whistles. And then almost 2 years, he had a recurrence. He actually had 2. He had gamma knife radiation both times. Then he went in for a 3rd surgery. So I am happy to say 5 years later, we just received the MRI results. He is cancer free.
Thank God.
But with that said, cancer doesn't end at the time of, you know, treatment, you know, the bell ringing and the treatment being over and remission beginning. The bomb blast that I discussed earlier sort of like had rippling effects. We sort of felt aftershocks, and we still continue 5 years later have those aftershocks, whether it be the emotional trauma, obviously the mental trauma, but also Thomas's physical trauma. He has still complicated medical, and we have had as a family to deal with the day to day. And, with that day to day comes, you know, a team effort of our family.
Of course. Of course. How old was Thomas? If I can't do the math, how old
was
he?
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
He was 18 and he had just started senior year.
Wow.
Now go ahead.
No, like what were you noticing to be like, hey, wait a second, we got to take you in. Like, what were you noticing?
So Thomas is very get along kind of guy.
Yeah.
And never complained about a single thing. And that quality in him turned out to be at his detriment, because he started seeing less and having visual symptoms. He didn't realize maybe, or maybe he just didn't want to complain, but he started having vision loss. That was his first and only symptom. Looking back, I can see he has some endocrine things and the increased thirst. Looking back, I now see that as a symptom that I didn't then.
Of course. I mean, because a young man would never think like there's something like this wrong, like whatever, maybe I didn't sleep right, or, you know, kids brush things off, and how would anybody know? But that's interesting. And then you go in, and how soon do they tell you something like this? Like, what are the doctor's faces? You know what I mean? Like, what is that like?
Well, I think the first, so I remember being in, I picked up Thomas just from school, after school to go get the CT. And I had my, at the time, 7-year-old Joey, with me, because I'm a mom and I had to pick up a million kids after school, and then we're going to rush home to, I think we actually had a concert that night, one kid concert or a kid meeting or something. There was something going on, and I'm rushing, and the CT was taking a little too long. I knew it. I just knew it in my spirit. I was just like, something's up. And I remember the feeling of Joey's little hand in my hand as they called us back to talk to the gentleman, the radiologist that was going to look at the scan. And I could see the screen, and I saw it. I saw the tumor.
Wow.
And I remember having that feeling like, okay, they're going to pull. I have two empathetic boys, and they're going to pull every bit of response from my face.
Yeah.
And I have I have a hard time with keeping my face together.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a very conscious effort to shield it up, to compartmentalize, and push it off. I held that hand, and it was that reminder that I had to like pull this. And the most important thing was, you know, putting the first face and the first, I wanted to ease the blast for Tom.
Okay.
You know, that I was strong, and we were going to get through it.
Right.
And so when I walked in, we found out, and then we walked out to the car, and I remember driving home. I was told by the doctor, to immediately go to an emergency room to be admitted for further testing. And our doctor was made aware, and I spoke to her. And I remember calling Matt, that's my husband, and I told him I was on the way and outside of the vehicle where the boys were inside. And I was driving home, and I told Thomas, I said, "Hun, you know," he had been listening to a Christian song that day, ironically enough, by the name of Good, Good Father. He was praying a lot that day. It was stuck in his head on repeat, and he was singing it. And so I happened to turn on the music for him, and I said, "I need you to listen to me." And we were just driving, and I said, "There was a mass that was found inside of your brain." I said, "But I was honest with him and I said, but we're going to take it a step at a time and I'm right here with you. And, you know, God and spirit is with you and we're going to just take a deep breath and lean hard on faith. We don't know what's ahead, but we're going to lean. And then the rest, you know, I said the same thing to the kids. The kids were a little younger.
Yeah.
We sat down, we talked to the family, we packed our bag and I didn't leave Tom's side. I left him one night when he was in the neuro ICU because a nurse took pity on me.
Yeah.
Said I had to shower.
Yeah. yeah.
But I didn't see my kids for 2 weeks. I was hospital with my eldest and they were little. And so we just sort of took it, you know, one step at a time.
Yeah. How old was your youngest at that time?
She was two and she turned three. She turned three. The 2 days before he got released from the hospital.
Okay. So you really had to focus on that kid. You had to focus on Thomas. That's what you had to do.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're in the hospital for 2 weeks. What do you hear? What don't you hear? What helps you? What's a standout moment for you at that time?
So I'll tell you I had called a few close friends to pray and just to, you know, be with me because I was trying to keep myself guarded up and shielded up and, you know, not falling apart quite yet. Mm-hmm. And my friend Colleen, I've known her for as long as I've known my husband. So a very long time. And, I called her and I said, hey, she has intimate awareness of how to deal with a medically complicated son. And so I said, hey, Colleen, this is happening. And she goes, okay, I'll pray with you. And in a few hours, I'll be over. And I said, okay. And I didn't know what she was doing, but she didn't want to impose on us, but she wanted to put herself, you know, insert herself into the situation to show support without being pushy. And she dropped off a care package at the nurse's desk. And I immediately called her and I said, get over here and hug me. And she did, but she was so kind. She didn't want to like overwhelm me.
Yeah.
It was just something to wrap me up in love. And basically what she left me was a care package. And, for me, the caregiver, it was a medical binder. So I could start immediately organizing Thomas's care plan. And that allowed my mama mind to do something actionable that would help me help him. And it made my mind calm because I could organize, I could figure out, I could, you know, think out the questions for the doctors in the middle of the night. There was a notebook for my thoughts. There was a appointment planner. There was a place, a three-hole punch where I could immediately, you know, because you're given so many pieces of paper and you just shove them everywhere and you're not going to a medical, like a office supply store.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so that medical binder was in there. There was a blanket for me and slippers for me. And cause she knew I was going to be in those waiting rooms all by myself. And so, yeah, that was one thing we had meals and meal trains and people I didn't want to eat.
Yeah,
and I was like, I'm hungry. And I'm like, I'm not hungry. I want to focus on Thomas, my kids. You know, I would come, you know, I would have my friends drop off meals for the kids. And then too, I don't want to eat. So what do? They bring me the, you know, they're inserting themselves. I didn't want to ask for anything except prayers for Tom. I didn't want anything except him to be better.
Interesting. Like you felt like, you know, I'm not allowed to ask for anything except my kid to get better.
Right.
Wow.
I didn't want anything. I mean it sincerely. And I know that sounds silly because obviously we needed more help than ever before, but it was just very difficult for me to receive it. Although looking back, that love helped us stay up.
That's so incredibly, I'm getting really emotional. Like that's so incredibly relatable. Like as a mom, you know, it's like, I can't ask for anything because it's like I'm in this balance with the universe and I just need any good intention. Anything has to go to my kid. So
everything.
So you're so deeply emotional as a person, and you're the type of person, like, let me absorb into you. Let me, Thomas, let me give you every ounce of who I am. You know, that's just how you are energetically. I talk a lot about how sometimes when we go through things, we wear like an inauthentic aura color, you know, and it sounds like you had to do that to get through it. Would you agree you had to put up some energy just to power on?
100 gazillion percent. Like I definitely, because I remember the feeling when treatment ended. So it was like the focus changed. It was like the reverberation, like the wall came down and I could feel like, whoa, it all rushed in. I didn't want to take, everything was finite now. Like I didn't want to take 1 second for granted, and I didn't want, everything felt fragile. And I was like, I can't live like this all the time. I knew I can't live like this all the time with the walls up and the, and I felt like I wasn't wearing my own skin. Like I needed to feel the trauma. I still don't think I'm there yet, but we're getting there. And you know, just process a little bit and just really live authentically me, because I had to live like that for a little, quite big chunk of time.
You had to. I mean, I can't imagine, because you have three other kids and they're little and just a life, but you're also like, you can't leave Thomas for 1 second. Like, so now you're in treatment, you're dealing with, I remember looking on Facebook, you know, and being like, oh my gosh, you know, there was something Halloween, and because this was before the COVID pandemic, and you guys were like, oh, we're trick-or-treating at home, you know, we're doing Christmas at home, like that, because you couldn't be around people because of Thomas's immunities. How did you embrace that time? I guess, how did you take any sort of joy out of these moments, I suppose? So what are your suggestions for people too? Or just tell us what you did.
Well, definitely. I was given the advice by Colleen again, to weave in happy memories when you could.
Wow.
And at the time you're like, how could anything be happy during this time? This sucks. And but looking at the three faces that were also growing up through this, you know, last five years, I'm happy that we did. Mm-hmm. Little things like, cause they had to lose a lot. Like what you don't realize is cancer isn't just the patient, and it isn't even just the caregiver. It's the siblings, it's the friends, you know, it's these, spiral effects. So we did miss out on things because we had a medically complicated kid, and we wanted to, and it, through a pandemic, by the way. And so we had to say no to certain things. And so I had to create little new memories, new traditions, you know, that we would then lean into when things got hard. So, you know, making the mummy dogs and Halloween and trick or treating bedroom to bedroom was like what we did, because we had a bubble. And Christmas, Thanksgiving, we had a friend that inserted himself within our lives and gave us our Thanksgiving, and we FaceTimed family on Thanksgiving, and, you know, that was hard, but we did it, and it was a peaceful stay in your jammies. You know, we made traditions, and then Christmas again, it was little things like, all right, Thomas had lost his hair by that point. So I found, everybody got matching jammies with hoods. And we now, to this day, every Christmas, the kids are like, we're all getting jammies now, right, Mom? And I'm like, yep, now it's a tradition. And so you just, and then there were organizations, you know, like Camp Good Days and things like that, that we were able to then forget about the cancer for a minute and be kids and just be a family.
Wow. Yeah.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Tidy Cats knows that home is where your cat is. So they've designed the Tidy Care Alert Health Monitoring Cat Litter with your furriest feline in mind. Here's the inside scoop. Litter plays an important role in your cat's health, happiness, and well-being. Tidy Care Alert uses pH technology and color-changing crystals that are gentle on the paws to monitor your cat's health and alert you of any potential concerns. It's the perfect tool to help you ensure your cat gets the care it needs. Put your mind at ease and let Tidy Care Alert help you keep an eye on your cat's health.
And that's, I guess, you know, as a family, I think this puts you guys in a club, a club of, how many are you? There's six, of you. There's a six of you.
Yeah.
And it's a club. And in what ways did it make you guys tighter? You know, I guess in what ways did it assist with that?
I think we've gotten incredibly close, even my little one. And I will say that their little empathy bones are probably the strongest little empathy bones I've ever come across. I like my both all three of the middle littles, they have an incredible heart to like give to each other and to give back. And what I've noticed is that, you know, since this happened, us as a family unit, like, it's pretty impenetrable. Mm. You know, I always foster their relationship before even their relationship with me or my husband, because like they're the ones that witnessed this all together. And they will be there when this all goes away. They will stay hopefully very close together. They have a really sick sense of humor that they've developed from this.
Right.
Which is awesome. And, you know, comic and relief and laughter really has helped us. You know, I've noticed like different coping methods. My eldest daughter is a busy, like she's yellow.
Yes.
And she copes by being busy and giving back. And, you know, what's been done for her, she wants to give back 100 million fold. And Joey copes by music and singing and drawing and art. And he's like a prayer buddy. And I can see him learning how to do those things. And Ava has the most like graciousness and forgiveness. And she's just so like, I don't know. She's like a ball of energy and she doesn't know any different. So
right.
It's just been a very nice, like that part. There's nothing getting through this family as far as I'm concerned after that. Like we got this, and even though we get weary and we, you know, a lot of forgiveness too. Like if I'm snapping at them, I'm humble enough to say, I'm so sorry. I'm just tired and I love you. And you know, we all have learned how to forgive one another, which is nice too, through the process.
You guys are very real. Like you've seen the worst of each other and things got real, real quick in your family. I think because a lot of moms, probably dads too, but you know, just the readings I do, it's a lot of women. I mean, I feel like it's like, how am I, you know, I think, and you probably can relate to this, I should be doing everything at the same time, you know? So I think when something unthinkable happens in a family, you worry about your other kids. Oh my gosh, are they going to feel unloved? Are they going to feel neglected? But you're saying like yours got tighter together. And
I think so. Yeah. And I definitely felt the guilt. Mom guilt is very real. And now that I think I didn't even process it at the time because my walls were up and I was just getting through the checklists and leaning on the medical binder and, you know, being the pit bull that I needed to be medically for my son. But then now the trauma has been removed and I look back and I feel very guilty, but then I see, because I couldn't possibly be present for the three of them. And I thank God for that bond that they have.
Yeah. That's the thing that comes out of it. Their own, you know, relationship with each other, which is stronger. Right. I think just to tell, you know, there's always something else that can come out of it that's good, even when it's really, really bad. I feel like just people, you don't need that too, you know, to worry about that too. Mm-hmm. Have a blue to go aura. Like you're the, actually you are, because I know you since you were little, you are so good at knowing what people are thinking and feeling. Like you read people immediately all the time. That's why, like growing up, I was like, Amy, like if I went to the park, I'm like, I'm with Amy, so I'm okay, you know, because I was shy. And you're like, not that you wanted to be this way, I think this is just like the person we all made you be. Like, go fight our battles, Amy. But that's good in some ways, but in other ways, you know, I can't imagine, just because you're such a kind person. When you tell someone like, hey, this is what I'm going through. And how do you, you know how like you tell somebody, my son, you know, he's medically fragile, or we went through this, or how do you feel them process it? Especially if they don't know what to say. Like, you know, when somebody feels awkward or they're like, oh, like, how do you handle that?
Well, at first I didn't know how to handle it. And because I had this, I think people did feel that I had the wall up. And the part of being so empathetic deep down, like, I don't know how to navigate this life logically. I think everything I experience life is emotion. And, you know, when I have the logic mask up, I feel people knowing that I'm not like, they know that I'm a bunch of BS. But at the same time, I would never, ever, ever want someone to feel what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. I would never want someone to be burdened by the magnitude of what I have to navigate emotionally or mentally on a daily basis. And so, like, I have so many well-intentioned, beautiful friends, and, you know, and I have, you know, good family, and like even my kids who are empathetic. You don't want to lie and say that you're not okay, or say that you're okay when you're not, I'm sorry.
Right.
But at the same time, so I started just saying, cause I am in fact okay. And I am in fact forging forward, and I am making, you know, tracks. But at the same time, like, I started to like also realize that I could say it's a tough day, but we're gonna, you know, and that happened after a little bit, when I was just like, okay, I don't want to lie to my kids.
Yeah. So you're just like, it's a tough day. We're having a tough day, or it's a lot today.
We're having a tough day,
but we're moving forward, which is the truth, you know, because I can't imagine like your need, because you're just a protector, to protect other people from feeling what you're feeling, you know, which is not your responsibility, but it happens, you know.
It does. And especially when you're going through a hard time, like, so instead of talking about the negative, I would just immediately flip it to, because it's easy to do, because we were so darn grateful for everything. And the fact that Thomas was still with us, and we are very aware that that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes the outcome is very different. And so we just shifted the focus and the conversation to gratitude, and then we didn't have to talk about the pain.
So I find your story particularly inspiring, because what you just said, like flipping it, you are on a light working endeavor, and I want to just you take the reins and tell us how it started, which we already heard about, and where it's going.
So I'm so excited about this. It sets my heart on fire. So we've had, obviously you've heard a lot about the pain and everything, but, so back in 2018, I just told you about my friend Colleen that dropped off the tote. So, fast forward. So 2020, I had a friend whose daughter was diagnosed with cancer as well, which is horrible. And she called me, and she knew a cancer mom. Okay. I'm a cancer mom now. I need some advice. So I knew what to do. I knew exactly what to do. I compiled a hope tote. I compiled a tote like my friend did, and I sent it and shipped it off to Texas. And I called up Colleen and I go, hey, Col, this sets my heart on fire. I go, I just packed a hope tote. It wasn't called a hope tote then. I just packed a tote up and shipped it off, you know, to Texas. And she goes, oh my God, I'm packing a tote too for someone that I know with pancreatic cancer. And I said, oh my God, Cal. And we were like, there's a need here.
I got chills.
And and we were like, all right, well, caregivers need this, patients need this, but caregivers especially. And so we had dinner 2 days before the whole world, it was like 1 or 2 days before the pandemic, the world shut down. We were out to dinner night or two before, and we chose the word hope totes, the name hope totes, and world shut down. And Colleen is one of the most organized humans I've ever met.
Yeah.
And she organized that 501c3, and we designed this. We partner with Vera Bradley, and we partner with New Era Cap and basically what a hope tote is one of those bags, and inside is a, you know, really cozy, fluffy, wrap you up in love blanket. because you're going to be in the waiting room with your loved one. And then the medical binder to organize the care plan. And inside the medical binder, there's a pencil pouch. Everything is there. So you don't have to dig through your purse to find a pen when the specialist comes in. You got it. And then there's slippers and usually some sort of comfort item. The comfort item could be an adult coloring book or a thermos. It can be an IV decal, an IV bag decal changed our mindset. There's a cancer survivor that we partner with through Dreamo decals. Shout out. She has an Etsy store, and those IV bag decals changed our mindset. So we work with them. But anyways, inside this tote, you know, it's grab and go. So if you got to go to an ER appointment, not an appointment, if it's the ER, yeah. I suppose, an ER visit or a doctor's appointment or a test, you can just grab your tote and go off and organize it. That's amazing. We started that, and we've doubled every year, and we're closing in on hopefully, well, I think we've given over 800 bags to area hospitals and individuals. Organizations, but we're closing in on 1200 by the end of the year, we're hoping.
I mean, that's amazing. And this is you and your friend, Colleen. I mean, you guys, I always see you're always volunteering your time. You're always, and you won't toot your own horn, but I'll toot it for you. You guys have been recognized so well by like local, because you're from Buffalo, New York. And that's where I'm from too.
Yeah.
And you guys have been really locally recognized. You've been on, I feel like, the Morning Show, and you've been featured. Tell us about that.
We've been graciously asked to be on the news a couple times. And we also were recognized by the Buffalo Sabres Foundation and National Grid as hometown heroes. And then legislator Chris Green recognized us with the legislature as Citizens of the Month back in June. So we've got, it's such an honor to be recognized. I mean, I feel selfish when I say that, because it's selfish of me to do this. I enjoy this. Like, this is very, like, I get such a, it's healing to give back. So it's been such a blessing.
I love that you do this. No, and I feel like I talk about, the glow, feeling the glow in other people, which is just feeling God's love. And other people, like, oh my gosh, I'm loved too, you know, and you get to build a connection so that you're part of that when they feel that, and you facilitate context in which people can feel seen and loved and like, oh my God, thank you, you know? And so I just find it so inspirational that you took something that, I mean, was truly this bomb in your life, this atomic bomb going off in your life. And you actually found a way to make a light working endeavor. It's just so you to find a way to touch other people's lives when you were so hurt, you know, and you guys went through so much, but that is so quintessentially you. I mean, you know, to heal and find your own healing by healing others. So I just found this, I'm like, oh, what a full circle moment. But I know what you're saying. You're saying, that you get so much out of it, you know, and it's,
I do.
So healing others has helped your healing journey. Is that what you're saying?
I do, because, you know, I feel like even though it is a lot of work and even though it is overwhelming, isn't everything. I mean, everything you do in life is a little overwhelming or a lot, you know, a little or a lot of work, and you only have limited energy to give. And so to me, it's one of those things that, like, I didn't know, cause it's more painful than I can articulate, you know, to watch your kid, his body fail him, or watch your other children or your husband or your friends or, you know, anybody that loved him also, and myself, experience this. And so I know where those people are at. And so when you know better, I tell my kids all this all the time, and you know better, darn it, do better. Mm-hmm. And so when we know better, we have to, you know, reach out to the people that are still consumed by the power of this blast, you know? So, sincerely, it's just been a gift. It's just been a real gift.
What would you say to somebody who's going through this right now and they're feeling numb and they're feeling isolated and they feel like they're on that island? What would you just say to them?
Well, you're going to feel like that. And it's okay to feel like that. Like there's no way around it. This thing isn't pretty. It's not, I can't sugarcoat it and say that like, oh, gratitude. Yeah. Gratitude helps. So if you can find even the smallest thing, the smile of someone, you know, that day, the fact that you didn't kill your kid, you know, or you didn't beep that horn when someone cut you off in traffic, right. Just find something to be grateful for. But lean in and it's okay. However you have to do, whatever you have to do to get through the initial blast is okay. And eventually you'll be able to feel again and process, and trauma is going to take a while. It's going to take a minute and talk to someone, have a community, and it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to feel it. And, you know, for me, things like writing or things like giving back or, you know, seeing one good thing, like I would have a really overwhelming bad day. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go to bed on one good thing. And it could be the silliest thing, but really that centering, you know, I would just say to that person, you know, one, you know, it could be half a one.
Yeah. Like just any speckle you can find.
Yeah.
Cling to it.
And then you pick up those speckles and, you know, you're on to the next day.
Amy, thank you so much for telling your story. I mean, this is a vulnerable thing. This is your real life, you know, and that's something that you deal with every day. Like you just said, this week, you know, was your every 6 months, you got your follow-up appointments and, you know, this is, like you said, this is something that we live with now, you know, you live with over there. So I'm just so grateful for you. I know everybody else is too, for you sharing your very vulnerable story. Where do we find all the Hope Totes info?
Well, we're on social media, predominantly. We do mostly give our totes out to the Western New York area because that's where our donors are. But you can reach out. All of our information is at hopetotesbuffalo.org. And also, you can find us on socials at Hope Totes Buffalo, and on Twitter or X, whatever it is now.
Yeah, whatever.
It's Hope Totes Buff. We're also on LinkedIn. But yeah, reach out to us, follow us. We got good, at least, you know, for good news and stuff like that. And there's also places to, you know, donate or yes. request a tote. It's only getting bigger. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. Thank you so much, Amy. And I love you.
I love you so much. Thank you for all you do, man. My kids, Aura Spleen, like you would not believe.
I love your children. Is like, because your oldest girl, she's like a little yellow purple. Yeah. And I love following her because she's like always making stuff and sewing. And I'm like, wow, she's so creative and crafty. So like, I love that.
I really appreciate you. Thank you. And I hope, you know, if anybody, I hope this helps just one person.
It will. It definitely will. Thank you, Amy.
I love you.
It was an absolute shocker to find that I was paying a monthly subscription for this game that I'm pretty sure one of my kids subscribed for without my knowledge. But guess what? Rocket Money not only found it for me, it canceled it for me too. And otherwise, that would have been a very tricky and time-consuming process to figure out how to do that. Not with Rocket Money. This blew my mind when I found out, but did you know that 80% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Seriously, think about how many free trials you've subscribed to that you've probably never canceled. That's why I'm such a big fan of Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Most people think they're spending about $80 on their subscriptions when in reality, the number is closer to $200. When you've signed up for so many things like streaming services you used to watch for one show or free trials for delivery that you don't use, it's so easy to lose track of what you're paying for. And with over 3 million users and counting, Rocket Money's customers have saved an average of $720 a year. So stop wasting money on things you don't use, cancel your unwanted subscriptions, and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/KYA. That's rocketmoney.com/KYA, rocketmoney.com/KYA. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
Okay, so Amy speaks to all of this so well, and over on the Mystic Michaela Spiritual Family, I know we have so many people, many of you listening, have been through the unthinkable yourself, and I feel like sharing over there, sharing on the Facebook page, as many of you have, or just reading other people's experiences is a way to connect.
Yeah, definitely, and you know, sometimes, I mean, I've had people tell me or, you know, message me, like sometimes this is the only place that they could write it because mm-hmm. nobody else no one in their life or really like, immediate family or friends would get them or get what was going on with them. And that page has helped them immensely when they have nowhere else to turn. And again, we strive to make that page the safest spot on the internet. That is my goal with that page. That is your goal with that page. Yeah. That is the goal of the people that moderate the page for us.
Our moderators.
We just want it to be the safest space possible.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the admins over there. We have Jessica, Leanna, Holly, and Amy, and we try so hard to make sure, just what you said, that it's a place where you can connect. It's a place where you can say the thing that maybe you feel like other people can't hear because, oh my, I don't want to be too heavy.
Right.
Or I feel like this is awkward or I don't know how to bring this up. You know, over there is a great place to do it. Just, it's necessary to reach out and have your voice heard and receive that help like Amy was talking about.
Yeah.
Well, this podcast is for you and about you, and we're so glad you spent some time with us today.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.